Daniel chapter 5. I have a lengthy text, really, a narrative to work our way through. And I really want to talk to you about the biggest fool in the kingdom. Biggest fool in the kingdom. Daniel chapter 5. Because we're more familiar with chapter 3 and even chapter 4 than chapter 5, unless we get to the latter part. But let's take all of this in. Let's begin in verse 1. Let's be patient. I'll try not to go too fast. Though Brother Colt said he preached for 50 minutes this morning. I said, well, maybe they put up with me tonight then. But he told me this morning, or yesterday, he had 20-something pages of notes. So he had to cut it down. Then he told me that's just half pages of notes. So that's only half true. You see what I mean? Half pages. So, all right, let's get into this. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and the silver vessels which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple. Now we're getting somewhere. Out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. That's a big problem. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank. And them drank from those sanctified vessels unto the Lord. They drank wine, that's bad enough, but here's even worse. And praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Well, they went from bad to really bad. In the same hour, well, don't be surprised about that. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, those, the magi, the magicians, the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. He's really trying to get somebody to step forward. Then came in all the king's wise men. But they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lord was astonished. Verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Now he was not, but he was made over them. For as much as an excellent spirit of knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not. Well, that's a sermon in and of itself. They could not. They cannot show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Well, here's an answer of a man of integrity. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, not only to, but before the king. The king's not alone. Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy reward to another. Well, he must not have read that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Listen, he's a preacher. He's a prophet. He's a truth teller. Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom. He didn't cause it. God gave it to him. And majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive. So life was in his power, in his hands. And whom he would set up, and whom he would he put down. So he had his way. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, in other words, he started going the wrong way, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. Till he knew, that's another lesson, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hath not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hath lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines, and have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. The one that has given you everything of value, true value, you've not glorified him. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel's, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Wow. You want to talk about going right to the heart. God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed, thou, you, are weighed in the balances and found wanting. This is bad news. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night, verse 30, was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. One of the wonders, great wonders of the world, Babylon, great walls, square. Here the Bible talks about, you know, the the measurement in all of the city, it was all squared off, a lot of the cities and all of that square, by high walls, impenetrable fortress-type walls. Of course, the Hanging Gardens and, of course, the towers, you know, were well written about throughout the ages. The river Euphrates was running right through the fortress so that they would have a vital source of water in a land that is very parched. You have to have water. Wherever, you find where people traveled, most likely they traveled and followed the water. Go west, young man, go west. But they always have in mind where the water is, because they don't have a 7-Eleven out in the desert. Now, they believed they had all the assets they need to maintain their kingdom. And water and this design would appear to humanity to be an asset, but their asset became a liability. And often that's the way it is with life. What we think is an asset, if we're not careful, can turn into a liability. The city was under siege by the Medes and Persians when he should have been fasting before God. When he should have been fasting, he was partying. He was partying. Unknown to the people of the city, they were working overtime to divert the waters of the river. And when they were able to accomplish that task sufficient enough, they were able to invade this impenetrable fortress, the great city. The night of doom, King Belshazzar had a drunken feast and everything that goes with it. A fool and his folly cost him his life and cost him the kingdom. The city fell. Belshazzar died, the biggest fool in the entire kingdom. And Darius took over. I want to give you just a few things. Number one, Belshazzar was the biggest fool because he was the biggest man. He was king. King in those days are not like our presidents acting today. They actually had all sovereign power. It's not like what we think of the king like a king of the United Kingdom. No, these were total sovereigns. Whatever they would say would go. Off with the head, off with the head. It's off with the head. There's no appeal. He was the biggest fool because he was the biggest man, the king. He had all power and all resources at his fingertips. Number two, he was the biggest fool because he omitted God from his life. God is everywhere present. He's available to us all. But he said yes to self and he said no to God. That makes somebody a big fool. The Bible says in Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, you see in italics, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, no God. There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Now, this psalm, of course, to the chief musician, is from one wise man telling all others, including kings, the fool has said in his heart, no God, or there is no God. Now the word fool here doesn't simply mean just a stupid person. It's not necessarily even the emphasis of the word, but rather an empty fellow. One who doesn't have the proper substance within. A contemptible person, a villain. One who has a muddy head, but more importantly, he has an unclean heart. He's a wicked individual. Now, in his darkness and in his folly, he says in his heart, there is no God. And none, says one, but a fool would say so. None but a fool would say so, because it is that God that gives them the very air that they breathe. The very soil they're standing on with their feet. The very water that they drink to have life even just for a few days. Now, this does not require a fool to be an atheist, just what we would call a practical atheist, just one whose life demonstrates that God is not in it. They don't even have to say, in fact, that I don't believe in a God whatsoever. All they got to do is just live like there is no God. And they would qualify here for this fool. Practical atheism. Now, there are some Christians. There are some Christians who profess Christ. In other words, they talk. They talk. Usually behind closed doors where they feel safe. They don't talk out yonder. They'll talk in a church. And they talk a good talk in church, or they talk a good talk when they're talking to other Christians. But in reality, they're practical atheists. There is no salt from them out in the world. There is no light from them out in the world. They, for all practical purposes, are this fool. No God. No effect on my life. No God. Some who name the name of Christ do not allow God to rule their tongue. They do not allow God to rule their pocketbook, their manners, their careers, their relationships. Well, I know God says you shouldn't be unequally yoked, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyway. I know God says that, but I'm going to go ahead and do this anyway. They deny God practically in their witnessing. In other words, they never tell anybody about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What is that but the works of a practical atheist? Their loyalty is to themselves. But the Bible will say to their own bellies, but not unto God. Now, for all practical purposes, there is not very much difference between them and an atheist, because their lives are in no way reflecting that they truly are a Christian. Their lives just do not reflect it. And they may not ever say, I'm an atheist. But practically speaking, they may as well be a practical atheist. But these fools, they are corrupt. They're corrupt in their heart. And when a person is corrupt in their heart, whatever their hand will do eventually will reveal a corrupt heart. Sometimes it takes some time. Remember the lesson from Job? Time will tell. Time will tell. Time will tell. Number three, Belshazzar was the biggest fool because he had access to all the teaching in the kingdom, which included the teaching from Daniel. Had access to all of that, all the wisdom, all the righteousness. Had access to the truth and turned his back on it. That's a fool. That's a fool. Paul, writing to Timothy, writing in the end times, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I know recently, Brother Stanley passed away there in Georgia. And I know we're not on the same page on everything, but he was an honorable man. And I keep coming across things that his son, Andy, is doing and teaching. You don't like to question somebody's salvation, especially comes from a Christian home. But you about can't help but do so when someone has taken such a person who's been benefited by so much in his past. The corruption of what he's teaching and advocating for today. It's unbelievable. It's how far the other way can you run? That seems to be the question. Not a little subtle problems here in his doctrine and behavior, but how far on the other side can you press the point? If you don't know a whole lot about it, don't be too concerned about it, but they turn away. He was taught and he turned away. I'm talking about Andy. Belshazzar was the biggest fool because he had access to all this knowledge, all this wisdom, the Word, the Scriptures. And he turned away from the truth. Number four, he was the biggest fool because he had the largest lesson of life in his own family. It's alluded to right here in the text. He had the biggest object lesson anybody could ever hope to see right in front of his face in his own family. What did he do about it? Well, he didn't pay attention to the lessons of his grandfather, the mistakes that he had made, the judgment that God brought upon him, the revival that brought him back to his senses and back to a proper founding and standing before God. He turned his back on all that great life and kingdom lesson. That's a fool. That's a fool. These lessons were not subtle. These lessons were known around the world. When things happen, listen, when things happen, this little snark of a girl out there in California, the little dark-headed girl that's a part of that family across the pond, everybody knows about it. And she's just a whip. Come on, she's just a little whip. But everybody knows what she said about somebody else. Who cares? Who cares? Now, that's her. What about the king? What about the queen? When something happens in their life, the whole world hears about it. The whole world knew about Nebuchadnezzar and what had taken place and the judgment of God upon his life. And here you have the grandson, now king, ignoring the great object lesson of his own kingdom. It's beyond thick-headed. It's wicked. Wickedness is the only way to explain that type of debauchery in the life of an individual who saw, if you do that, this is going to happen. The only reason they'll continue to go down that path is not because they're thick-headed, they're just dumb, they just, you know, don't have all the cards stacked up in the right way. They are wicked. They do it because they want to be wicked. And they feed on that wickedness. Wickedness, by the way, is real. Some men, some women have wicked, wicked, wicked hearts. Number five, Belshazzar was the biggest fool because he thought he was too big to fail. When in reality, for those meaning him harm, he was too big to miss. Too big of a target. He was so lifted up in pride, like I said, instead of him fasting. Now, normal people, if you had been faced with that same thing, you'd have probably been said, I think we need to have a prayer meeting. I think maybe we need to call the good people together and maybe we need to seek counsel, right? Maybe we need to have a synod. Maybe we need to have some kind of a presbytery come and make a pitch to us what all has taken place. Maybe where did we get off course, maybe, you know. And let's beg God. Let's repent before holy God. Maybe fast and sit outside in sackcloth and ashes and show God our true heart of repentance. And maybe God would restore the kingdom to its glory. But pride won't do that. Pride says, I'm doing it my way and I don't care what you say. And when people get to that point, I'm here to tell you, husbands, wives, counselors, teachers, when people get to that point, there's nothing you can do to help them. They will not listen. They will not listen. And when people get to that point, all you're going to do is cast your pearls before the swine. They are a fool, and they will not listen to truth anymore. That's a fool. That's a good time to say amen. You're not incriminating yourself. It's a good time to say amen. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You think you know better than God? You do not. I think I know better than God? Bite my tongue. I do not. You think you found a better way? You have not. You have not. You think you're going to be the first one to outsmart God? You will not. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You want to know the solution? Put your trust in the Lord and just simply obey Him to the best of your ability. Obey what you understand the Scripture to teach you. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. I've got two more and I'll be done. Belshazzar was the biggest fool because he thought he had it all when he had already lost it all. I've got it all. I've done it all. I've got it all. The world says, get all you can, put it in the can, and sit on the can. I've got it all. Thou fool. Thou fool. Paul writes to the carnal church there at Corinth, and he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, he was not a fool because he was wealthy. You don't have to be a fool because you're wealthy. The love of money is the root of all evil, not money. The love of all money. He was not a fool because he had a big crop. He was not a fool because he had a great fortress. He was not a fool because he had one of the wonders of the world in his very presence. He was a fool because he did not put God where God deserved to be. He said, my crop's my barn. When God's word tells us, God owns everything. God owns everything. Acts 17:28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. I don't do anything without the ability of God granting me that power. I don't breathe without God giving me the energy to breathe. I do not drink water without God's giving me the power to drink and swallow water, or I'd suffocate myself to death. By God's ability, I can feed myself. You ever work with people in a nursing home and they don't even have the power to feed themselves? Without God's grace upon our lives, we are totally inept. We can do nothing. No one could do anything apart from the goodness of God. For in Him we live and move and have our being. The very ability for you to be able to get up at a certain time tomorrow, even set your alarm clock, is a gift from God. Much less the ability to have the money to put gas in your car, it's costing more these days, and go to work. You wouldn't be able to lift one toe, much less a foot, without the power of God. So you start to play all of that out and just think about all the resources that only God can give us and has given us. And then to deny Him His rightful place in our lives? How absurd. How thick-headed is that? How wicked is that? That we would not give Him the glory and thank Him for the movement that He enables us to do. So what happened to the king? Well, the Medes and Persians, they took him out. The same night. The very same night. God was done. God was done. Somebody said, well, could maybe something have intervened? I don't know. I just know nothing did. Had he submitted himself? Had he humbled himself? Perhaps, like others in the Holy Scripture, maybe a point of grace would be extended to them. We don't know. We just know he was a fool. And being the king, he was the biggest fool in the kingdom. Number 7, and I'm done. Belshazzar was the biggest fool because he looked to the wrong thing for security. Looked to the wrong thing. He thought that he was all secure, well and fine, behind his great walls, impenetrable walls. Sometimes we Americans think, well, we're so secure because we've got a big ocean between us. But now they have missiles that can fly over that pond of water. He lived in false security. You know, I've heard this all of my life. Perhaps you have too. Remember how many people heard this? The safest place you can be in the planet is in the center of God's will for your life. You've heard that. I've heard that all my life. I believe it to be true more now than any time in my life. The safest place you can be is right in the center of God's will. Even if you're in a hostile environment, that's still the safest place on this earth that you and I can be. Men of this world live with security, but it's a false security. They think, well, I've got my 401k plan. I've got this. I've got that. I've got firearms in my home. I've got a security system. Nothing can happen to me. What would be God's verdict? Thou fool. That's what happened to him. He looked to the wrong thing for security. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Our strength, our protection comes from God. Now, I'm not opposed to you having those practical measures, but never think just simply because you have a firearm in your home that you could not be harmed. What are you going to do? Somebody throws a firebomb into your house. Get your 9mm out and start firing. There's always someone more wicked. Now notice the way Belshazzar lived and the way he died. By the way, a man usually dies the way he's lived. If he's a drunkard, he dies a drunkard. Live by the sword, die by the sword. Live a sinner's life, die a sinner's death. And then it's too late to do anything about it. The man was basically, if you go back to the very beginning of the passage, you find he was a pleasure seeker in life. He made a feast when he should have been fasting to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. One writer said he tasted the wine, he relished it, got heated by it. When wine got fully in, wit went wholly out. I blew it, so let me do it again. He relished it, he got heated by it, and when wine got fully in, wit went wholly out. And that's what happens. You get drunk, you lose your mind. You lose your mind. And you just may lose your life and your kingdom. People all around the world, but especially in America, are drunk on the wine of pleasure. Whatever they want. I want what I want and I want it right now. Love for the world is a poison to our souls. We're not wired and meant to live after this world, but to live after our Savior. Not the world's values, not what we want. Not what we want. I keep pointing out, like with Brother Ben, and now, you know, the Brother Colton, and he's shaking of the heads. This must needs be. This is not a game. We're not on vacation here. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. And we have to send men and women where God says send men and women. And we have to do it even to the sacrifice of ourselves. And if we don't, we're really no better than the rest of the world. The practical atheists say there is no God. But there is a God. There is. The devil has snatched many to his way by the enticement of pleasure. Children, of course, all the summer camps and just had youth conference. Teenagers make spiritual decisions at camp. And they get home and next thing you know, it's snatched away. Snatched away. Pleasure seekers are like crack addicts. Or they're like, you know, you saw this news, these two boys, I think they're boys, I didn't read the whole article. They escaped from their land on the rudder of a ship. Do you see that on the news? On a rudder. And they drank salt water. Living with the love of the world is like drinking salt water. It's a point of seduction. You think it's really helping you when it's actually poisoning you. You're not meant to drink salt water. And you keep doing that, you're going to lose your mind. And then you're going to lose your life. The Bible says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. No reference to the goodness of the Lord. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool. This night, just like with the king, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hath provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The king lost it. His body fell apart. Talks about his basically joints of his hips. His knees began to shake. When the hand of God wrote on the wall, your time's up, son. Your time's up. The Bible says the countenance of his face was changed. His mind becomes agitated. Pain seizes in his body and his back. Tremors take place. And lastly, the cry of distress. But it's too late. There is a time that you're crying, but it's too late. You're crying, but it's too late. I forget off the top of my head who I was talking to not long ago, and they started crying. And I said, crying is not going to solve the problem. You can cry all you want, but that's not going to solve the problem. Correcting the problem will solve the problem. Stop being a fool will solve the problem. He had a warning of the word. He had a warning of his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. He was warned, he was warned, he was warned. They said, that's for somebody else, not me. And he found out it was him. Now, God has warned us all through his word. He's warned us by the example of people. How many people do you know have blown it in their life, in their Christian life? I don't like to even think about them anymore because the list is really long. I don't like it. It troubles my spirit. How many people have you known in your life? If you've been a Christian for years, you can name the people. You can see their faces right now. Used to be in church. Used to be teachers. Used to be this. Used to be that. How many teenagers now are in the world are already on the trash heap of life? How many? How many have to go that way before we fully resolve? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, when it comes my turn to be judged, I want to be striving to live for the Lord. And I do not want to be one of the biggest fools in town. Let me ask you a question and I'm done. Our time's up. Right at the top of the hour. Who's the biggest fool you know? Who is the biggest fool you know? You thinking about somebody? I'm not asking you to call out their name. Who's the biggest fool you know? They've been taught the Word of God faithfully through the years. Long time they were taught. They had great examples. They had examples of what not to do, and they saw that judgment right in front of their face. Who's the biggest fool that you know? Now, that's not good. That's bad. But what would be worse if the biggest fool you know is you? Can you be the biggest fool in town? Yes. And so can I. But by the grace of God, without learning lessons like this, what's it said? A wise man learns from his own mistakes. A wiser man learns from other people's mistakes. Here's big mistakes. But the truth of the matter is, we can make the same mistakes. And it may be, 10 years from now, if we're not careful, the biggest fool that I will have ever known may be me. Am I not capable of sin? Am I not capable of disobeying God and dishonoring the God that gives me life? Of course I am, and so are you. So we better be mindful, lest by the Spirit of God, a hand appears and writes, your time's up. Your time's up. Brother Mansfield, pastor, he said, well, you got a really edifying sermon to give to your church tonight. And I said, well, we'll see. I'm going to be talking about the biggest fool in town, biggest fool in the kingdom. And he said, oh. And if we're guilty of that, you know what the interpretation is? Now, I wish I could do it like Lucy. You know what I'm talking about? You're Lucille Ball? All right, Lucy Ricardo? Because she could do better than anybody in the world. So don't go down that path. Don't go down that road, or it'll be, get it? But by the grace of God, I would be the biggest fool that I know. God, help me not to make these kinds of mistakes. Amen? Get your loyalties right. Get your love right. Return it to your first love. Fall in love again with Jesus. Or you may be already starting down that road. It just doesn't happen that you end up. You start. There's a start to it. That's when it needs to be nipped in the bud, Andy, nipped in the bud. And you're wise if you do that. Nip it in the bud before it gets too far down that path. Let's stand for prayer.